Folks, I don't know if you remember any crazes from the school playground. Anybody and you want to shout out to me? Many remember yo-yos, Tamagotchis, clackers. Here's one. Do you know this one? Oh, yep, Tommy. 6-7, 6-7. Can anybody tell me what it means? Or are many people looking at me thinking, Gordy, I've no notion what you're talking about? There was a craze that has gone around schools this last while, much to the frustration of teachers. 6-7. And it means, folks, just let me inform you, it means nothing. Nobody really knows where it came from, possibly an American basketball player's number and something that he did at the end, in the game. Nobody really knows, and it's meaningless. And yet it went through the school playgrounds like wildfire. And as I was preparing for this morning, I thought, oh, here, Gordy, 6-7. Colossians 2:6-7. It is not meaningless. Two little verses packed, totally packed with meaning, encouragement, advice. First two words, so then, similar to the Pauline, what they call the therefore. And when you see the therefore, you ask what it's there for. And it's in view of what we have thought about already in the book, teaching about coming to faith, being born in Christ, growing in Christ, who Jesus is, the majestic Son of God in all his glory, living in us. Well, so then, because of that, well, you've received Christ. Just as you've received Christ Jesus as your Lord, he is in charge of your life. The word received here, you're thinking, oh, I've received Jesus as my Savior. It does mean that, but it means more than that. Who have you received it from? Colossians 1, again, 6-7. The gospel that has come to you, you heard it and understood God's grace in all its fullness, and you learned it from Epaphras. So you have received it from Epaphras, and it has come to live in your heart. So there is a personal connection here, a personal reception, spiritual rebirth. But there's a practical element also that somebody has told you. Just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Eugene Peterson talks about a long obedience in the same direction. Continue to live in him. Colloquially, we would just say, keep her lit. Keep going. Keep going in your faith. And again, as we've thought about here in church over the last few weeks, coming to faith in Jesus, receiving him, is not just about making a decision. It's about becoming a disciple. That long obedience in the same direction as we continue in him. Rooted and built up in him, but rooted in him. And as we talked about there with the boys and girls, with these plants, unless the roots go deep, there is no growth that comes. So there's sustenance. John 15, where Jesus says, abide in me. Psalm 1, verse 3. It was a fantastic little passage of scripture. As a tree planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. As we grow in Christ, we take our sustenance from him, that the roots must grow deep. Often they say roots can be bigger than the branches of a tree, only you don't see them. And for us, folks, living for Jesus, spiritually our roots must grow deep and go deep so that we may be healthy in our walk with Jesus. but not just nutrition, rooted and built up in him. That there is a foundation in our lives. There is a strong foundation. Again, Luke chapter 6, where Jesus talks about the wise and foolish builder, the man who dug down deep and built his foundation on the rock. That again, built up in him, talks about a foundational aspect based again on truth. We'll get to that in a little moment. I know, again, having lived in Donegal for 7.5 years, just the pain of so many homeowners because of what's known as mica. Defective blocks, not made true, not made with the correct mix of different elements. And so once the water gets into the homes, foundations or bricks or facade, once the water gets in, expands, contracts, the bricks, the blocks just literally crumble because it's not built true. And here, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, and again, as you were taught, there's an education element to this that we must build on truth. Colossae, I am told and I read, was an area in modern-day Turkey prone to earthquakes. And actually, way back in AD 61, such a terrible earthquake came that basically the town of Colossae was just devastated. And today, well, there's nothing left, really. But it's about our foundations, and when the storms, when the shakes, when the earthquake comes, how are we built? Are we building on truth? Are we having that nutrition in our roots? We're again mixing our metaphors here, but there's a nutrition, there's a foundation, and then the education. We must be based and built on truth. I love strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Strengthened in the faith is about, well, the AV uses the word established. It's about being mature. If you're buying a home, you'll maybe see a little line that says, this house has a well-established back garden. What it means is the plants, the trees, the bushes that are there are mature. They've been there for a while. They're strong, they're good, they're healthy. So again, strengthened in the faith, being established as you were taught, being educated in your mind, that you're building true. Again, look at verse 8. It says, don't be deceived by hollow and deceptive arguments. But not only our reception, you've received Christ as Lord, continuation, continue to live in him, your nutrition rooted and built up in him, that foundation, education strengthened in the faith as you were taught. But I just love these words, overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness, celebration, brimming over, overspill, uncontainable. You watched some of the World Cup recently, and you watched the football fans, or maybe more importantly, the rugby fans on a Saturday. People are just, their joy is uncontainable. Living joyfully out of God's abundance and grace. That's what this verse is saying. And yet for us in church, we often struggle with a disease within church and fellowship that's called pewmonia. Yeah? And we just sit in the pews and moan. Overflowing with thankfulness. What's the kind of, again, another colloquialism? So, Gordy, how are you doing? I am not too bad. Thinking, where's the positive? Here, Paul writes, overflowing with thankfulness because of God's good grace to us. That we would live, when you see some of these football fans that are just off the charts, aren't they? And there's this overflowing, there's this abundance, there's this joy. Because of Christ living in us, folks, do we have that? Do we live that? just as we wind up, so then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Let me encourage you with that this morning, but that our lives may be rooted, grounded in God's good grace given to us, that our lives may be built up in him, strengthened in the faith as we were taught, so that we are growing, that our lives are alive in him. And may we be, rather than suffering from pneumonia, let's be overflowing with thankfulness. Let our lives and our hearts be so grateful to the God who loves us and gave himself for us, overflowing with thankfulness. 10,000 reasons for our hearts to sing.